Hello and welcome to episode 58. We both have little boys that are teething right now, and this prompted us to say, hey, let's do an episode all about teething and teeth and babies who are teething, because in between kids, when we don't have one who's teething, we forget. And so we thought it might be helpful to you for us to spill all our knowledge and helps and information with you about teething. So let's talk about baby teeth.
Hello, and welcome to Outnumbered, the podcast. I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Audrey. We're experienced moms to a combined total of 18 children.
Our mission is to help overwhelmed parents find peace in parenting and humor in the chaos.
Come join us as we attempt uninterrupted conversation about parenting with joy and intention. Okay, so today's episode, Teething with Babies, was prompted by real life experiences. Bonnie and I both have 9 and 10 month old babies, and they are teething like wild men. Both boys and the poor babies. So Bonnie and I were chatting and saying that when we don't have a baby teething, we forget about it. So we wanted to record this episode right now while we're both in the midst of it, because we have tons of good information to share.
Yeah. And it's okay if you forget what happened last time too, if you're on your second or third or more baby. It's okay to forget. So here's a good reminder of some things that'll help you out.
Yeah.
But to start off, we're going to read a review, really sweet review we got. This review is from Striving for Better. It's entitled Great Mom Encouragement. I've been listening to Outnumber the podcast for about 6 months, and it has quickly become my favorite. These ladies are the reason my laundry gets folded. The tips and wisdom they share are relatable, even if you don't have 9 children. Yet they also have an overarching theme of encouraging moms to do what works best for their own family. They are good examples of doing their own thing and finding joy in and being proud of their families. Their humor makes it a fun listen. Keep up the good work, Bonnie and Audrey. Oh, that's so sweet. What a perfect review. Thank you so much.
Love it. Love it. And if you want to help us out by leaving a review on iTunes, we have instructions on how to do that in our Instagram profile. And it helps other moms find us and love the podcast and get their laundry folded too.
Exactly. Yeah. It only takes a minute or two. So we would love all the reviews you want to leave. Thank you so much. So this episode will cover a variety of tooth-related topics. We're not just talking teething. We're also going to talk a little bit about kids losing teeth and some future mouth-related issues.
Okay, so some signs of a baby teething. On your first one, if you don't have experience, you might not know what's going on. So some signs a baby is teething is drooling, massive drooling, like they're not foaming at the mouth, but like they're suddenly sprouted a leak in their mouth or something. They might have a fever. They might be crying more than usual. Their gums might be red and swollen. They might have less of an appetite, or they might nurse. If you're nursing your baby, they might nurse more or they might nurse less. It just depends on how tender their gums are. They might also bite or nip while they're nursing. Sorry. And you'll find them chewing on things, just chewing and gnawing and trying to work and get those teeth through. In fact, there's a family lore story that my husband's grandmother used to give her babies a butter knife to chew on just to help them get those teeth through.
We don't recommend that.
I've never tried it myself.
That's pretty funny. Maybe a plastic spoon. Start there.
Yeah.
Okay, so just a side note about the nursing thing is, it's funny, I had forgotten that people do this, but every time I have a baby that's teething and people find out that I'm also nursing that baby, they always say, oh, I'm so sorry. I bet that won't last long. And we're here to say that, no, you don't have to wean your baby just because they get teeth. I don't know why everybody thinks that. I do know why they think that, because they think that nursing a baby with sharp teeth is a terrible idea. In reality, it's very rare that you'll actually even feel your baby's teeth unless they decide to bite you. And if they bite you, then you probably know with or without teeth, it doesn't feel good. So you want to nip that in the bud. So, in fact, do we talk about
bite? Pun intended.
Touche. Okay. I think we talked about, lots of irreverent humor here. I think we talked about biting in our nursing episode, our breastfeeding episode.
Yeah.
Did we do that?
Yeah. I think so. And a baby does not have to have teeth to bite you. They can really clamp down without teeth.
Yes.
So teeth doesn't mean you have to stop nursing.
Right. And very often when they're teething, like we mentioned, that they're extra fussy. And so sometimes nursing just brings them a lot of relief and a lot of comfort. So that's just a side note.
Yeah.
So to start, I'll share a little bit of my own experience with teething. I found that teething is kind of a mystery malady. So sometimes your baby will just be fussy and kind of cranky and clingy and act like they're in pain, but you can't see anything. So if this is happening, chances are good that they're working on some teeth. And I've also found that for each baby, it's different. Some babies get cranky before you ever see any signs of teething. So you won't see any bumps, maybe some swollen gums, but they're just fussy. And then the tooth erupts and they're great. For my kids, it's kind of the other way around. They don't show any signs of teething until the tooth is basically broken through and then they start crying, which is really weird. So those are just some ideas for if your baby's showing those kinds of signs, it just might be that they're very close to getting a tooth.
Yeah. There's this sweet, sweet old couple in our meetings that we go to for church. And whenever the baby's fussy, I guess it's because I've had babies for so long in meeting. Whenever I have a baby fussy and crying that I have to take out, this sweet old man says, "Oh, just teething. Just be patient. They're just teething."
That's better than the, "He's probably hungry." I'm like, "No, I'm not starving my baby. He's not hungry. He's just tired or teething."
My babies have way too many fat rolls for people to think I'm starving them. Okay, so in my experience, something that's difficult about teething is babies can't use words to describe pain. So that's a lot of the difficulty. They have no way to communicate to you that something hurts and that something's wrong. So it does make it difficult before they can talk when they're in pain and they can't really communicate to you. That's part of the difficulty of the crying and the pain that comes with teething.
Totally. As far as teething ages go, this really, really can vary with each child. So I've heard of kids teething as early as 3 months and as late as a year or more. So really anytime that first year, you can expect to see some teeth. And usually if the child's, first couple of teeth come in early, then all the rest of them are going to follow fairly early. And they'll tend to lose teeth early as well, and vice versa. If they're a little bit late in teething, then chances are good that they'll lose teeth late. So my personal experience is many of my kids teethed pretty early on, or at least the beginning ones did. And then later on, some of my kids surprised me. Like Dean, I kept expecting him to teeth early, 4 or 5 months, and he just got his first teeth at about 8 months. And now is getting, like, he got two at one time and now he's getting four at once. So, totally just a crapshoot. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. That does kind of seem how it worked with me too. My first got her first tooth at 4 months, but she only got like one or two at a time. And my kids that teethed later, they did get several teeth at once. So it was like tons of pain. And
yeah.
Yeah. So that, that's not a hard and fast rule, but that sometimes does follow. So, with my first teething at 4 months, when my second came along, I was like, "Okay, where's your teeth? Where's your teeth?" And it's like you could almost see the whitish stuff under there, but nothing came through. So anyway, with my second, I was like, "Hey, what's the matter with you? How come your teeth aren't through yet?" But each kid is totally different.
Yep. I can often see the shape of the teeth just sitting there for a while. And then once they start coming through, you're like, "Oh, yep, that's what it was." Just kind of funny to see the little indents there. So we're going to talk a little bit about how long it takes a tooth to erupt. Because again, if it's your first or second time, or even if it's been a while since you've had a kid, you might have forgotten. So for us personally, it seems like it's anywhere from 4 days to about a week, depending on the child, obviously. And depending on how quickly I notice symptoms. So sometimes I'll think, oh, they've been awfully fussy this week. And then there's a tooth. I'm like, oh, I haven't been paying attention that's why you're fussy, right? But I was just noticing recently because Dean just, his first tooth on the top just broke through last week. So I was noticing it was about 4 or 5 days from when he first started getting really fussy. And I saw, you know, it actually break through the skin. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. It seems okay. Two things here. It seems like sometimes teeth move around a little bit before they come through. And so they'll be having all this drilling stuff and there'll be nothing coming through. And that'll go on for a couple weeks. And then finally they'll get a little corner of a tooth. The other thing I wanted to say is there is no rhyme nor reason. It's not like the bottom teeth come through first and then the top teeth. Mm-hmm. With my little baby, he actually got two top teeth first. And he looked like such a goober with two top teeth and no bottom teeth.
That's cute.
He was the cutest little cherub. But then now he's got 4 teeth on the top and 2 on the bottom. And with other kids, I've had them get more bottom teeth than top teeth. But anyway, right now my baby's working on tooth number 5 on the top and tooth number 3 on the bottom at the same time. Wow. And he looks like a snaggletooth little cherub. He's so cute.
That's adorable.
Okay, so what can we do? How can we help our babies relieve them with this pain? Can we do anything? Can we help them? Or do we just have to let them go through it? Extra nursing is definitely a way we can help them. But we have also found Camellia homeopathic liquid drops are a huge relief for our babies. The drooling doesn't stop, but it knocks the edge off the pain and it kind of calms them, like they're not so wild and upset about the crying. So the teething is still happening, but we swear by Camellia homeopathic drops.
Yeah, I'll second that. Audrey sent me that recommendation last week when we were really having a tough couple of days and went out and just bought it at Walgreens, I think, and gave him a couple of, they come in these little teeny plastic vials and gave him a couple of those and he was happy as a clam and finally had a good nap. So really, yeah. Really good resource.
Yeah. You can give them, we'll link them in the show notes. You can give them like every half an hour if they're really in the intense time of it. You can give those pretty often. It's just an herb. Camellia, it's a flower, so it doesn't hurt them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, your doctor will probably tell you it's totally fine to do like an actual pain reliever, but we prefer to try everything natural that we can before resorting to Tylenol or something if it gets really bad.
Absolutely. We do too. Like keep their little bodies as pure and healthy as long as possible.
That's right. So a couple of things we use for relief are we'll give them frozen fruits or veggies in a little baby feeder. So I don't know if you've seen these, Audrey, I'll link them in the show notes too, but there are these little feeders. They have a little plastic handle on them and a little part that opens up and you can stick any kind of food that might present a choking hazard to your baby otherwise. And then you clip it shut and they just suck on it. And then they get the juice of the food out and, you know, it can kind of mash it up and squeeze it through these little holes. You can buy them with like a silicone part on top or a mesh fabric.
I've seen the mesh fabric one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we have. I will give you a warning, though. It's a nightmare to clean out because the mesh inside is like a mess. So I might try the silicone next time. But Dean loves it. I'll put like a little frozen piece of sweet potato or banana or something and just let him gnaw on that. And that seems to help. We'll add some more resources in the recommendations as well. But also just like we said, extra cuddles, extra nursing. I remember the day that he was really fussy last week. He wanted to nurse nonstop, but he would only nurse for a few minutes and then stop because I think it was painful to have lots of sucking. So just be aware that they're tender. They're trying to find a way to make themselves feel better, but they don't really know what's going to work either.
Okay, so molars come in later. They get their 1-year molars, 2-year molars, 6-year molars, 12-year molars. Did I miss any?
That sounds right. That sounds right to me.
Yeah, and then you get your wisdom teeth after that. I think that's all your molars. I'm sure some dental assistant will correct me if I'm wrong. But molars don't come till they're about a year old or later. Most of mine have been older than 1 year old when they get their molars. And molars don't seem to be as painful. But with some of my kids, it seems like they've been more painful. But this could also be related to them being able to communicate a little better. And usually by this time, my kids are on more solid food, or I use a baby food grinder, link it in the show notes, to grind up food. And so they seem to be a little more able to, I don't know, what's the word, adapt, because they're eating food, and somehow it seems to help with the molars.
Yeah. You know, I personally remember getting my molars, must be my 12-year-old, I doubt I remember much before that, but I remember it feeling really itchy in my gums, you know, like,
I
almost wanted to scratch them. And I've had some kids express the same thing. And that's the nice thing, like you said, is they can communicate and tell you when they're in pain. But maybe it's because there's more of a flat surface that they don't cause quite as much pain as those pointy little front ones. But yeah, that's an interesting thing to watch for. And again, just as proof of how different each kid is. So I have a set of twins and they're 8 right now. Watching their teething experience has been fascinating because one was way ahead of the curve and one was way behind the curve. So one had probably 8 teeth before the other one got her first. And then the other one had lost 4 or 5 before the other one even had her first wiggly tooth. So it's just, there's a wide variety of normal. Just don't feel nervous if your kid's, you know, at the late end or the early end.
Yeah, that is fascinating. So we're going to move on to losing baby teeth and getting adult teeth and experiences with that, because that's what comes next. Now, somehow, when you get your adult teeth, it doesn't hurt like it seems to hurt a baby. Maybe your pain tolerance is higher, or maybe your mouth is more desensitized from eating more food and having different textures and stuff in there. But anyway, getting adult or permanent teeth, I guess they're called, not adult teeth. Getting permanent teeth doesn't seem to be as painful. So, and then you're right, some of my kids have lost teeth much later. Like my 5-year-old hasn't lost his first tooth yet. And he keeps asking me, how come I have all my teeth? When am I going to get to lose a tooth?
Oh, sweet thing.
And then there was my okay, one of my kids, I'm not going to embarrass her by telling which one it was, but one of my kids, actually, her top 2 teeth, she did not lose her baby teeth before her permanent teeth started coming in. And it was really embarrassing for her. She was probably 9 and she had a double set of teeth, and it was so embarrassing to her. But her permanent teeth were coming in such a position that they weren't pushing on the baby teeth to knock them out. So they were in front
Oh my gosh.
Or they were behind. Anyway, she had 4 teeth and it looked so funny. And of course her brothers teased her and she was so embarrassed. And finally we took her to the dentist to, you know, get them the baby teeth pulled out, because they had to come out. And he didn't even charge us for it, because he said, one of these basically fell out in my hand, and the other one was so loose because it was ready to come out. There just was no tooth behind it pushing on it. So anyway, just a FYI, the permanent tooth coming through doesn't always knock out that baby tooth. And that can be kind of a identity crisis for the poor little kid with double shark teeth.
That is fascinating. Yeah, shark teeth. Oh my goodness. I bet that'd be cool to see.
If it would have been a boy, they totally would have walked around with their mouth open to, you know, but the girl was, you know, totally having an identity crisis about it.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And you bring up a good point that losing teeth is kind of a rite of passage for kids. And if they are not exposed to older kids, either at school or cousins or friends who have already lost their teeth, it can be really frightening the first time they get a loose tooth.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my kids, I want to say it was Finn, who's 6. He lost his first tooth a year or two ago. Must have been last year sometime. And I guess no one had lost a tooth in a while because he was really concerned. I think he got a blow to the mouth or something. He fell or something and came in really, really nervous that his bottom front tooth was loose. And I just said, oh, son, I think you just knocked it loose. It's ready to come out. And then he got excited, but he was really nervous for a while. Like, oh, is this bad? What do I do now? You know? And then likewise, if a kid is a younger one in his group of friends or family members, they get really excited and maybe even a little upset when it doesn't happen when they think it should. Like, I'm 5. That's when I lose teeth. Where's my teeth coming? Why aren't my teeth coming out? You know? So just be aware that, you know, it's kind of part of their identity as a kid that they might be upset if it doesn't happen on their timeline.
Okay, that totally reminds me of another experience, just came to mind with baby teeth. One of my kids was, we have a stone floor in our kitchen, and one of my kids fell down and hit their two front teeth on top on the stone floor. And the teeth were actually damaged. And they actually, the dentist said they actually died and they turned kind of gray, but they were still attached and they're good enough that the dentist said, just leave them to hold the space and the permanent teeth will eventually pull them out, push them out. But they're just baby teeth. So it's not really, you know, we're not really going to do anything about it because they're going to come out in a year or two anyway. I think the child was about four when this happened. And so, that is just an FYI that a baby tooth can die in a mouth. And it's not like an experience where you have to freak out or anything because it's just a baby tooth. A lot of things that can happen to a baby tooth that aren't as important because it's not the permanent tooth.
Yeah, that's an excellent reminder. That happened to my little brother as well. He had a damaged tooth and it just hung out there for a while till it fell out. And it was kind of a weird shade of brownish gray. And yeah. But that's better that it hangs around because I have a little girl who broke a tooth on a trampoline. She hit the metal brace.
Yep. Yep.
And it cracked right in half and they couldn't save it. So they had to pull it out. And now she has a little metal spacer because they're afraid that the teeth are just going to go all wonky. Because I said, when did that, you know, it's not a front tooth, surprisingly enough. She broke one of the kind of back molars. And I said, well,
How did she do that?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I'm going, why couldn't you have broken one of the front ones that's going to come in like a year or two? No, she broke one that's not going to grow until she's nine. So she has 5 years of this spacer in her mouth. Whatever. That's kids for you.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the tooth fairy. Do you or do you not do the tooth fairy with your kids? So this is just kind of personal preference. It's something with your first child that you have to decide. Are you going to buy into the whole fairy tale concept of the tooth fairy and give them money or rewards or whatever your tooth fairy happens to do? Or are you not? So you guys know we don't do holidays from our alternative holiday traditions. And so you can probably guess that we don't do the tooth fairy either. It's just not in our nature to make up mythological creatures for our kids to believe in. So we don't do the tooth fairy. The kid has a tooth fall out. They're like, oh, cool, mom, look, I lost it. And it goes in the trash and that's that. But whatever is your belief as a parent, that's okay. We just have chosen not to do the tooth fairy at our family.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you there are lots of moms listening who go, I wish I had never done that tooth fairy. Because I'll tell you from my perspective is I was raised with it. I was raised with a very, very involved mom who wanted to do all the magical things. So she always did the tooth fairy. And after the first two kids, me bolting upright in bed at midnight thinking, oh, I forgot to put money under the pillow or whatever. I thought, this is not for me. I do not enjoy this and I don't think it's worth it. It's not teaching my kids anything. Again, if this is your belief and you want to do it, go for it. Like, do whatever you want to do. But for me personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with deciding that that's not for you either. So after doing it for a few kids, I finally, we fessed up and said, hey, if you want a little bit of change for the pain of losing a tooth, we'll give you some. So usually just the little kids. Now the big kids don't even care, but the little kids, we'll, you know, their first couple of teeth, they'll come and we'll give them a dollar or something and say, yay, you know, kind of like I said, rite of passage. Hooray, you lost your first tooth. Yay. So there's lots of different ways of doing it.
Yep. Yep. So I know childhood is kind of a magical time and I don't mean to take anything away from anybody by saying we don't do the tooth fairy. It's just the way we've chosen to do it in our family.
It would have saved me a lot of sleep if I'd had that decision a long time ago.
Okay. So let's address when to start brushing your kids' teeth and how to teach them how to brush their teeth. Now I'm stammering and stuttering a little bit here because this is not my forte. I feel like when my babies are breastfeeding, their teeth are protected by that. And so I'm not real diligent about brushing their teeth if they're breastfeeding, because I feel like there's so much good bacteria in the breast milk. like I could be totally off here. We're probably going to get dentists hate mailing us, but I just feel like breastfed babies don't need the teeth brushing that other babies do. I will give one warning thing, though. I have a child who, even though he was breastfed, he did get some staining and darkening on his teeth. And it was because we were letting him have, you know, those baby food packets that are pureed. We were doing some of those that had fruit in it. And I think he was falling asleep with some of that still on and around his teeth. Mm-hmm. And there is some staining on his baby teeth because of that. So not a huge concern with me because they're baby teeth. But I just think, like, if I was to, you know, supplement with a really hungry kid like that again, I would probably make sure they drank water to kind of, or nursed afterward to kind of get some of that rinsed out.
Right. I think people make a really, really big deal about little kids brushing teeth. And I don't want to say that it's not important, but I think more important is watching what your kid is eating and what they're going to bed with on their teeth, like you say. So if your baby drinks juice, that's notoriously bad, or eats a lot of fruit, that can kind of sit in their mouth. Also, I don't think we need to say sodas, right? We all know that's going to destroy your teeth. Okay. And then the other thing is milk. Like, lots of people wean their babies right onto milk, and it's really not as good for teeth as they make you think. So just do a little bit of research there. We generally give our kids a toothbrush, you know, when they're old enough to hold one, I guess, and they see their bigger siblings wanting to do it. But we're kind of terrible at it too. And I'm of the opinion that genetics play a much larger role in teeth health than we like to admit. I have a couple of kids who have had horrible teeth, and there's seems to be little we can do. We brush and floss and they still get the cavities. And then other kids that are super lazy and have perfect teeth. So, again, just kind of a reminder to not beat yourself up if your kid's teeth aren't as perfect as you think, because there's really only so much we can do for them. But yeah, there's lots of fun little baby toothbrushes. If you're interested in getting one of those, I think I'm going to link one actually, that can come in handy for teething, because it's like made of a little silicone or something and can feel really good on their gums. So that's always something you can get for them early on.
You know what? I could have just said everything that you said, because I couldn't agree with that more. In fact, everybody just back up a minute and listen to it again, because I agree 100% about all that, about learning to brush teeth by mimicry, about genetics playing a huge part in teeth health, about the input, the kind of foods you eat being so important. So yeah, back up and listen to all that again, because amen and amen. Okay, so my final thoughts on teething is, this is one of those times where you might have to slow down, and it's maybe not exactly a survival time, but when your baby is teething, they're going to need extra care and attention, and you're not going to be able to accomplish everything that you maybe wanted to accomplish. Your baby might need to be, you know, just skin-to-skin contact in a wrap or swaddled or something, touching you through the day just for the comfort. So it might take extra time and effort and energy on your part, and they might not be getting the sleep they need. And so as a direct correlation, you might not be getting enough sleep. But anyway, just take all of that into consideration, because your baby needs you, and teething is hard on them. They don't understand what's going on, and they can't express the pain to you. So that's my final thoughts on teething. Just be there for the poor sweeties.
Yeah. And mine's similar. Sometimes teething is your baby's first experience with real pain, right? I mean, they have little bumps and bruises up until this point, but especially if they're early teethers, this is the first time where something is going on with their body and they do not know what it is. And they just want their mom or dad to hold them and cuddle them. So just to be aware of that. And if you find yourself wearing thin because your baby's been crying nonstop and you can't comfort them, make sure you trade off with another spouse or get a sitter or something so that you can have a little alone time to recharge so that you can then come back and be there for your baby again. Again, like we said, extra snuggles and attention, wearing baby, extra nursing, maybe getting outside for a change of scenery, something like that. Just do your best to be there for them.
Yeah. And if they are doing extra nursing, that's going to make your supply go up. So make sure you're taking care of yourself, drinking enough water, getting extra snacks, whatever you need so that you can have the supply they need too.
Totally.
All right. So moving on to recommendations, I've got those Camellia homeopathic drops to help them get through the teething. And I'm going to link to that baby food grinder.
Yeah. And I'm going to link to both the baby feeders I recommended, the mesh one that I have, and then the silicone one, which looks like a really good idea. I haven't tried yet. Also a soft baby toothbrush. This one that I'm linking comes in like a bunch of cute little shapes that are really fun for babies to just sit on. There are also teething tablets, homeopathic teething tablets that we've used in the past that seem to work fairly well. And then also a cooling teether. So I remember having one of these around my house when my little brother was a baby. So these have been around a long time, yeah. But they're like little plastic links. Have you seen those?
Yeah. That you put in the freezer.
Yeah.
And they kind of have a gel in them.
Yeah. So that stays really cold. So if your baby likes to gnaw on something that's cold to kind of help numb the gums, that those are really fun to have around as well.
Okay. Very awesome. So hang in there when your babies are teething. Both Bonnie and I's little boys that are teething right now are extremely jolly about the whole experience, even though they're drooling like crazy and crying sometimes. But I don't know. I chalk it up to the Camellia and just being a sweet, good-natured baby. I don't know.
Yeah, we got lucky. You might not. So if you don't, just like I said, get help and rest while you need it and take care of those little ones. They're so sweet and they'll get through it eventually.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Did you know you can help the podcast in several ways? First up, we're on Patreon, and there are three different levels to support us there. Just head over to patreon.com/outnumbered.
Next up, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a written review on iTunes. It helps other moms find the podcast and receive the help that you're enjoying.
And finally, you can follow us on Instagram @outnumberedthepodcast. We're always having fun over there, too.
As usual, if you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can always reach us at outnumberthepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for all your support. We'll talk to you next week.
Hopefully that wasn't too... anger, yeah. Too many dentists.
Yeah, I said we're never going to do an episode on dentists because then we would get all the hate mail.
Right, of course. They make a lot of money. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.